Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother
Keith. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says that there's no trial or temptation that's happened to any of us but what's common to man. The enemy will try to tell you that you're going through something that nobody's ever gone through. That's not true. That's a lie. But that verse goes on to say that God won't allow you, as His child, as His believer, He won't allow you to be pushed, tested, tempted beyond what you can deal with. Mm-hmm. But that He will always give you a way Amen. Out, Amen. A way of escape. Amen. Say it out loud, there's a way out.
There's a way out.
There's a way over.
There's a way over.
There's a way to victory.
There's a way to victory.
Now you can know that and be sure of that even when it looks like and feels like there's no way out. There is a way out.
Amen.
There is. Yes. And I'm prompted of the Spirit for us to pray about it right now today. Yes. Let's release faith. Everybody say it out loud, Father God.
Father God.
You are my God.
You are my God.
And nothing's too hard for you.
Nothing's too hard for you.
Nothing's impossible.
Nothing's impossible.
Nothing's too difficult.
Nothing's too difficult.
For you.
For you.
And so my eyes are on you.
So my eyes are on you.
You said
you
would always, give us a way of triumph.
Give us a way of triumph.
A way of victory.
A way of victory.
A way of escape.
A way out.
So we ask to see it, Lord. Reveal it to us.
Show us
where to look,
what to think,
what to know,
what to do,
what to say.
We
thank you in advance for victory in every area. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask for utterance and anointing and direction for today and ears to hear it in Jesus' name. So be looking for it. He heard you. He knows when you're serious. And He'll show you. And it'll be a blessing too. Some things, people have been looking for the answer for years. Decades, some things. And what a joy when you go, that's it. That's all I got to do is this. And that whole thing's going to change.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord knew it all the time.
Yeah.
And if we'll just stop and acknowledge Him and look and ask and believe for it, you'll get it.
Yes.
You'll get it. So thank God for that. We've been on a series now for a number of weeks. We're calling Faith for Provision. And we're giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture. It'd be easy to give 50. But, you know, it's taken us months to do this. 30 reasons why we are sure. Sure. Why we know. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now, if you don't believe that, you can't have faith for provision. If you're questioning whether God wants you to have something or not, you can't have faith for it. Faith is persuasion. Remember, Hebrews 11:1 talks about faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance is... you could say confidence. It's the assurance of things not seen. It has to do with knowing. And James warned, if you vacillate, if you waver, maybe it is, maybe it's not, we just don't know, we'll have to wait and see. He said, don't let that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You cannot have faith for something you are still questioning God's will about.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Cannot.
Mm.
If you say, well, I think I can, well, then you don't know what faith is.
Yeah, right.
No, you can't. Mm-mm. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why would that be? Because you find out what His will is.
Right.
You find out what His plan is, who He is, what His priorities and purposes are. You find out. And then when you know what He said, and you know what He wants, and you know what He's done, and you know what He's given, you're no longer wavering.
Right.
You're no longer wondering. You know His will.
Yes.
So now you got something to stand on.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now you can stand and have faith and believe. Yes. And so can you see the purpose in us taking all this time and going over reason after reason after reason after reason? Why are we doing that? So you make your mind up, right? So you get settled. And you know, if all of these scriptures don't convince you, then do you respect the Word of God?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't respect the Word of God, then you don't respect God.
Mm-hmm.
He and His Word are one. So no, when the Lord tells us something, stop asking questions about it and believe Him.
Amen.
Hmm? It is His will for us to have abundant provision. All of us. All the time.
Yes,
sir. Come on, say it out loud. Abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always
God's will
for us all.
For us all.
Abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always
God's will
for me.
For me.
Is it God's will for you to be able to pay all your bills today and this week and this month?
Yes.
To have everything you need, to do everything you need to do?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes.
Now, you know, if you're trying to believe God to be the biggest drug pusher in the neighborhood, there's other scriptures that deal with that, and that ain't going to work. You need a new profession. I'm serious. And it takes faith to believe you can have another profession. You might say, well, yeah, but you didn't grow up where I grew up, and there's no other way. No, with God, there's another way. There is another way. And so you got to do it His way. But with His way comes abundant provision.
Yes.
Abundant provision. So we've been going one by one through these 30 reasons, and we are now down to number 18 in our study. We're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Go to Galatians 3, please, again. Galatians 3, verse 7. He said, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You and I, because of our faith in Jesus, are now. This is not just theoretical. It's just not just a nice thought. We really are the seed of Abraham.
Yes, sir.
Hmm?
Yes.
Verse 9, so then they which be of faith... Talking about the same group, that's us, faith in Christ. We are blessed with faithful Abraham. Said out loud, I am a child of Abraham.
I am
blessed
with Abraham.
I'm blessed. And the Bible talks about the blessing of Abraham belonging to us. We've already spent some time on that, one of our previous reasons, but... If this was real to us, we'd be wanting to find out what that blessing is and what it entails and includes, because it's not just some exciting reading about what happened long ago. That blessing's still in force.
Yes.
Today,
yes.
When God releases something and He speaks something, it never wears out. It never runs out.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps going. And the blessing of Abraham is happening today.
Yes, sir.
It's in power today.
Yes.
And it belongs to me.
Yes.
You?
Yes.
Too?
Yes.
Come on, say it out loud. The blessing of Abraham,
is
mine.
It's mine.
It's working in my life. So he goes on to say then, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the way He did it was that He was made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Now, a lot of folks today, you know, they've been to college, they've read some books, and they think, well, that's superstition, all that curse and blessing stuff. No, it's not superstition. It's real. The curse is in the earth. It's working. The blessing is in the earth. It's working for those that believe it and receive it. And these are things that were released long ago, centuries ago, by the Word of God, by His justice, by His rightness. And you read about them in numerous places, but in Leviticus 26 and in Deuteronomy 28, you find a lot of detail about the blessing and the curse. And you might say, well, yeah, that's back in the Old Testament. It's back in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Watch about treating what people call the Old Testament. That's men's name for it. More accurate is the law and the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just as true today as it was when it first came out of God's mouth.
Yes.
And just as right. And the thing that has changed, God hasn't changed. Right and wrong hasn't changed. Blessing and curse hasn't changed. Our covenant has changed because of what Jesus has done. Thank you, Father. But part of what He's telling us, and this, I mean, Galatians is in the New Testament, right? He's talking about the curse. He's talking about the blessing. He's talking about being redeemed. And folks that have been singing for their whole life about I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, hadn't stopped to read the rest of the verse. Redeemed from what? Right?
Yes.
Well, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Go to Leviticus, the 26th chapter, and let's remind ourselves of this. Leviticus 26, how were we redeemed? Jesus became a curse for us. That's how it was accomplished. In Leviticus 26, He said, look, verse 3, if you walk in My statutes and keep My commandments and do them, I'll give you rain in due season. Your land, the land will yield or increase. The trees of the field will yield their fruit. Do we still need that today?
Yes.
Certainly we do. No crops, no food, right? Just as real and important today as it's ever been. And He says, your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. This is blessing.
Yes,
I said, this is blessing. And this is the blessing of never running out. This is the blessing. You know, I've heard people speak disparagingly of the word prosperity. And you know, people say, oh, you're one of those prosperity teachers. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you know what prosperity is? The word prosper means basically to succeed.
Amen.
Success.
Yes.
To succeed.
Yes.
And the technical definition of these words we're reading is to succeed in reaching.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody say succeed.
Succeed.
In reaching.
In reaching.
Like a prosperous journey.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means you got there.
Yes.
Right? You got there. Huh? How many believe in prosperous journeys?
Yes.
That you don't go halfway and crash,
yes.
Right? Huh? Prosperous journey means everything went good.
Yes.
You got there safe and sound.
Yes.
No issues, no problems.
Yes.
Then apparently you like prosperity.
Yes.
And here is your threshing shall what? Reach. This is verse 5. Your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and you'll eat your bread to the full.
Yeah.
In other words, you won't run out between income.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh?
Amen.
You will reach. And in fact, there's overlap. You'll still be, you're reaping, but you still got vintage.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you're sowing, but you still got harvest and vintage.
Yes.
That's prosperity.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
Who could be against that? Now the antonym, the opposite of prosper, is the opposite of succeed.
Yes.
What's the opposite of succeeding?
Yes.
Failing. So if you don't believe in prospering, you believe in failing.
Come on.
Can't have it both ways.
That's right.
Huh?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, you're a prosperity preacher. Well, I ain't a failure preacher.
That's right.
Aren't you glad we're getting this all fixed?
Yeah.
Huh? Everybody that has any smarts and thinking likes prosperity.
Yes.
Anybody. Because the opposite is lack,
yeah.
Running out,
yeah.
Loss,
yes.
Failure.
Yes.
No, we don't want failure in any part of our life.
No.
If we should be doing it, if it's the will of God, it's God's will that it succeed.
Yes.
Succeed, that it prosper.
Amen.
And that it succeeds in reaching.
Amen.
So, not running out. And he said, I'll give you peace, and your enemies will fall. And verse 8, 5 will chase 100, 100 will put 10,000 to flight. And they wouldn't take a couple of times like that until people don't want to mess with you anymore, right? I mean, you just, and you have peace for peace and prosperity. What's wrong with that? And he said, I'll have respect to you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you, and you will eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. You got to bring out those last season clothes because you got so many new clothes coming in. Man, I got strong response from the ladies here. I mean, you got to take those last season clothes. I got to have room to put the new shoes,
yes.
Right? You need more room to put the new shoes. You got to take that 3-year-old car out of the garage,
yes.
To make room for the new one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Now, if you say, well, I don't go for all that stuff, you won't be bothered with it. You won't be bothered with it. These kind of things follow them that believe.
Yes, sir.
Them that believe. No, you'll eat old store and have to bring out the old to make room for the
new.
Is that the will of God?
Yes.
Are we reading the Bible?
Yes.
Yes. I'll set my tabernacle among you. I'll walk among you. I'll be your God.
Yeah.
And you shall be my people. Is it still his will to be our God?
Yes. Yes.
And us to be his people?
Yes.
Well, when did our God change from this?
Yes.
Never has. Never will. Don't listen to anybody that tries to tell you he has changed. He has not. And verse 14, though, begins to get into the curse. These previous verses we just got through read, that's the blessing. Now he's saying, verse 14, but if you will not hearken to me, and you won't do my commandments, you despise my judgments, and your soul abhors my judgments, so that you will not do my commandments, but you break my covenant. Then he begins to describe the bad things that are going to happen. And all the bad things that he describes happens for who? For believers that's following him and obeying him? Those who reject him, refuse to listen to him, regardless of what you believe about all these bad things, all you got to do is believe God and follow him. You don't have to think about any of this because it doesn't apply to you. But sadly, all of us have sinned and come short in some degree or way, which is why we needed Jesus to come and redeem us from these things, the curse. But I want you to notice some specific parts of the curse and a word that he uses. In the 18th verse, he said, if you will not yet for all this, all the bad things happening, hearken to me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. The curse is punishment.
Yes, sir.
Do you see this?
Yes.
Skip down to the 23rd verse. He said, 23, if you will not be reformed by me, by these things, but you will walk contrary to me. If the curse, according to him, the curse is working, that's for the rebellious, for the unbelieving, for the disobedient. And if it just keeps staying and just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, that's for folks who are absolutely rebellious and stubborn and refuse to hear and refuse to repent. And it's still true today. If you won't listen to him, you're going to go through some bad stuff that never was his will and plan for you. Were we looking at the plan of God in those first 13 verses we just read?
Yes.
Were we or not?
Yes.
That your enemies falling before you and running away from you, you being protected,
yes,
you being kept and healed, you prospering, you never running out,
yes,
you having so much new stuff, you got to make room, pull.
Yes.
It, was that the will of God?
Yes.
Is it the will of God?
Yes.
For who? For the believers, for those that listen,
yes,
those that will obey him.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at from verse, 14 or so through the rest of the chapter on the curse, is that the will of God?
No.
No.
Is it his will for you to listen to him or not listen to him?
Listen to him.
Listen.
Then if you listen, you get the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes,
sir. No way can the curse ever be God's will. This is one of the biggest things you can get from all these weeks we've been dealing with this. If it's the curse, what should you know about it? There's no way the curse could be God's will for me. No way, ever, with anybody. Because, I mean, it'd be tantamount to saying that your disobedience was his will. That you're not listening, that your defiance, that your rebellion is his will. Certainly not. Does he want you to obey or disobey?
Obey.
Obey. Listen or ignore him?
Listen.
Listen. So then his will is blessing.
Yes.
His will is listen, be blessed.
Yes.
Follow me,
yes,
trust me, obey me,
yeah,
and be blessed.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Well, what if you listen to him, you follow him, and you're cursed? You're like, hold on now. That's not supposed to work this way, right? No, there's no way the curse could ever be God's will for you. Now, the reason I keep saying this is because huge parts of church-going people, the body of Christ, they'll try to tell you that sickness, which is obviously curse, poverty, lack, terrible things, they are the will of God. That everything that happens is the will of God. Well, then you're trying to say that your disobedience is the will of God, that you're ignoring him. No. Curse is punishment. He said, verse 23, if you'll not be reformed by me, but you walk contrary to me, I'll walk contrary to you and will punish you. Everybody say punish.
Punish,
punish you seven times for your sins. Punish. Punish. It's so important that we understand this, because it's not God's will for us to be cursed, and Christ has redeemed us from the curse. How did he do it? He was made a curse for us. Here's another way to say it. He was punished. He was punished in our place.
Yes.
He was punished because of what we did.
Right.
Not what he did. But the curse is punishment. Is punishment God's will?
No.
Is it somehow part of his mysterious, unknowable plan?
No.
Let me help you with that if you're not clear.
No.
No. No. No. No. Look with me in Peter in the New Testament. I believe it's 2 Peter it is. 2 Peter the 3rd chapter. Now, the reason why I'm being so repetitive about this is because this is an area that the devil has lied to millions and convinced the majority of the church of his lies. Have you ever heard people trying to tell you that some kind of poverty and lack must be God's will to teach you something? Or some kind of disease? Is God working something out in your life? They're telling you that the curse is his will for you. True or not true? Can't be true. I said it can't be true. It can't be true. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 9th verse, he said, "The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing." Can you read?
Yes.
Not, somebody say, not willing.
Not willing.
Not willing what?
That any
should perish. Now that word perish is the same word translated destroyed. Mm-hmm. Not willing that any should be destroyed, but that all should come to repentance and subsequent life. Mm-hmm. Is it God's will that people die and go to hell?
No.
A lot of them are. Huh? Is God controlling everything?
No.
If he is, then he's controlling people going to hell.
No.
Then it's his will that some go to hell.
No.
Yes or no?
No.
God is not willing. Can you read the scripture?
Yes.
Can anybody read the scripture?
Yes.
God is not willing that what?
Any.
Who?
Any.
How many?
No.
Not any be destroyed. And the curse goes into great detail about you being destroyed, you being destroyed, you being destroyed. That can never be God's will. Not his will. Why Jesus came and redeemed us so that he took punishment so we don't get punishment. He was made a curse so we're not cursed, so we get the blessing. And we're out of time again. You're going to have to come back tomorrow. Say it out loud. I am redeemed
from the curse of the law.
We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.